This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Today is New Year's Eve, and that includes, probably for a lot of you, some New Year resolutions. One of the things you could do for a New Year's resolution is to focus more on your public speaking. In line with such a New Year's resolution, I invited Brendan on my podcast, who is an expert speaking coach. You can find Brendan on YouTube with his YouTube channel Master Talk, where he shares a lot of tips and helpful videos that help to improve your public speaking. So that's Master Talk on YouTube. Link in the show notes. Just for clarity, I am in no way affiliated to Brendan, and Brendan and I decided to do this because his content is such a good free resource. So let's begin. Welcome to another special with Brendan Kumarasamy. I hope I pronounced that correctly, Brendan. Your Master Talk on YouTube. And Brendan is a bit of an oddball between the normal guests that I have on my podcast. Brendan is actually an expert on public speaking skills, and I wanted to dig into that topic a little bit with him because I reckon that there are a lot of software developers out there, especially in the iOS community, that are looking into ways to do new things in 2021. And I think public speaking can be a wonderful addition to your portfolio. So, Brendan, hi, welcome to my podcast.
Of course, Jeroen. It's great to be here.
So, before we begin and dive into the topic, can you tell a little bit about yourself? Why are you an expert in this area?
Yeah, of course. Happy to talk about that. So, early in my university years, I used to do these things called case competitions. Think of it like professional sports, but for nerds. It was the equivalent of hackathons in computer science in the business world. So, essentially, a business gives you a problem, and in 3 hours, much like how you have to figure out a project in a hackathon, we had to create presentations and present our solutions to a board of executives at the end of our pitch time. And that's what I did for 3 years. You know, I probably presented hundreds of times, coached dozens of people on their communication skills. And then I got a job in the corporate world at IBM as a technology consultant. And that, as well as helping a lot of startups gain investments for their companies. And that's when the idea for MasterTalk came. I realized that a lot of information on communication is really bad, especially in the free category. You hear advice like, oh, you should be yourself or get up on stage. And I said, what are you supposed to do with this nonsense? And I also noticed from a technical perspective, especially for the software developers out there, a lot of software developers are really good at product and building products. So let's say they have an iOS app, they know how to code it, they know how to look through code and understand how to execute that. But they have a lot of trouble communicating those ideas in a way that someone who doesn't understand their technology stack would understand. Like, what business are you trying to solve? What problem? Why should I play this game? Why should I use your app? And that's what I really help a lot of founders do. So yeah, it's been a fun ride since I started the YouTube channel.
So how long have you been doing the YouTube channel?
I've been coaching for 5 years, but I've been doing YouTube for 2.
And has it been a success? Is it growing as you're expecting, or is it above your expectations?
Yeah, definitely above my expectations. You know, when I started, I didn't expect this to be a big project. My goal is really to be an executive at a company, you know, work with a lot of clients on technology or things like that. But yeah, you know, things took a turn for the better, and MasterTalk had some success, and I'm really happy with what's happened in these past couple of years.
So you mentioned your brand, MasterTalk. What kind of content can people find on your YouTube channel?
Of course. So the goal of MasterTalk is to be an encyclopedia of anything related to communication. So any question you would ever have on communication, my goal is to answer it on the channel. So questions like, how do you build relationships really quickly? How do you present to an audience you've never met before? How do you communicate innovative ideas? So I try and answer all of these questions. But of course, if you think there's a topic I haven't covered yet, you're always welcome to contact me. I'm always open to new ideas.
So if you look at the typical software developer and that's trying to sell an idea, sell their product, or basically sell a technology, because quite often software developers present at conferences to conference attendees, what are the biggest problems you see when you're looking at these kinds of talks?
Yeah, for sure. I would say for software devs, mostly, they spend too much time on the tech and not enough time on the benefits of that tech. So they might say something like, oh, I used this query, or I got this code from this area and I used it to apply and build out my tech stack. But someone who's non-technical doesn't really care about that. Think about the way that you would communicate a product or service that you're working on to someone who's very technical versus how the CEO of that company communicates their product or service at a big conference. So I'll give you an example. Think about Mark Benioff, right, who's the CEO of Salesforce. When he talks about Salesforce as a product at his event, which is called Dreamforce, he talks about it in a grandiose way. He talks about how the world would be a better place with Salesforce, how customers can go through their leads faster, can raise more money, can make more money. He talks about the benefits that someone who doesn't understand their tech stack would comprehend and go, oh, I'm a CEO of a company. I don't know how to code, but I really want to buy this product. Same thing with Steve Jobs, you know, when he was building products and he was communicating those products. Yeah, there's a lot of complexities within the iPhone or the Mac or all the different products. But when he communicated those products to the general public, he would simplify it so much. And an example I can give you is the first keynote he gave on the iPhone. He didn't talk about the plexiglass and how it was developed or what chips they used in the back of the phone. No, he said, look, we got internet, we got music, and we got a phone, and it's all one device, and we're calling it the iPhone. So it's very simple. So as software developers, as technical people, what we need to get into the habit of doing, especially if our goal is to be a CTO one day, a CEO, or just a manager or a vice president of engineering at a big, large company, what we need to start thinking about is as we progress through our careers from software development to management, we start to code less and less, and we start to manage more and more. That's why I think it's so important that people should think about their soft skills, because it'll help you not just communicate your ideas better, but promote it a lot faster too.
Okay. What you're discussing is really the career track that you can get as a software developer within a corporate environment. What can you bring to people that are considering themselves self-employed or indie developers, because I reckon speaking skills are very important in that area as well.
Absolutely. So in the context of independent contractors, the same analogy applies. You're selling yourself, right? Why should I hire you as a software developer versus the other seven? And what you'll find, especially, and those who are independent contractors probably already know this, is 100% of all your clients aren't necessarily technical. Right, they might actually be people like my friend owns an agency in that space where they code apps for people, and a lot of their clients don't know how to code. That's why they're paying you the money to code or develop these products or services. So you need to always get into the habit of communicating your value prop, what you can do, in a non-technical way. Because what you're doing for a non-technical customer at the end of the day is you're solving a problem. I don't really know how to code this app. How do I do it? They don't really want to hear your queries or the languages you're using to code it or the process and how you're going to do it. They want to know how much it costs. Is it going to get the job done, or is it within the budget of what I'm trying to solve for? And if you can answer those questions in a simple, authentic way, and you could build great relationships with your clients, they'll refer you to other people who want to buy from you as well.
You mentioned being authentic and building relationships several times already. Being authentic, what does that mean to you?
Right. So I get it, right? A lot of software developers might have a lot of trouble kind of building those relationships, as we call them, right? Because they might be a bit more introverted, or they might be a bit more shy. So for me, being authentic means to first figure out how to connect with people in a way that makes them go, oh, wow, I really like talking to this person. And it's not something you'll get overnight. You know, I didn't always talk like this. You know, when I started, I wasn't very, very good as a communicator. And then over time, I got better. So my advice to people is to always talk to the people you find the most interesting. So one example I like to give technical people is, especially when COVID's over, go participate in more hackathons. Go participate in project-related work, because you'll find other people who are interested in the same things as you, and it's going to be much easier for you to hold conversation with those people. So one exercise, one challenge I give people is, when you go to a hackathon, don't just talk to participants. Talk to the sponsors that are there and see if you can build relationships with them, because they're here to see you. Right, they want to talk to you. They want to get to know you. And then over time, as you have more and more conversations with those people, you start to get better at expressing who you are more authentically and also a lot more easily. And then when you start to do that with customers and potential clients, it becomes a lot easier as well.
Okay. So that covers the authentic part. And what about the other topic?
So you know, the way I think about relationship building, Jeroen, is... a lot of people overcomplicate things. They go, oh man, I got to go to this cocktail and talk to 10,000 people and give my business card to everyone. No. The secret to real relationship building that's effective and also less stressful is, find the most interesting person in the room that you find the most interesting. And if they like you, they'll just introduce you to all their friends. And that's it, right? And then that multiplies over time. So one example today is, you know, most of the people I met this year, I met through somebody else. So it was just somebody that I knew who said, hey, you two should like talk. And they just intro each other. So one easy thing you can do is go up to the five people that you love the most in your life and just say, who's the most interesting person that you know? And one of those five people will go, oh, you should probably talk to Jim or Laura or somebody else. And you'll meet one super interesting person, because interesting people tend to know other interesting people. So if you just get one of them to like you, and you just ask for other introductions, not to sell anything, just to talk to more people, you'll probably end up being successful.
How do you try to broadcast your Master Talk brand to as much people as possible while staying authentic and engaging, even though that the audience that you're trying to communicate to are actually people that you can't see, that are on the internet, you haven't met before. It's basically marketing that you're also trying to do with your content, right?
Yeah, of course. So my strategy is two ways, but the biggest part is I cheat. So the way that I cheat is through two ways. The first way is, I never present on camera alone. So that means if I'm on a podcast, I'm talking to somebody else. So it forces me to be more energetic because there's actually somebody here. But if I'm alone making YouTube videos, there's actually a guy behind the camera who films me. And so he's one of my best friends who does all my production. So that's an easy way of thinking about it. But the other way of thinking about being more energetic is really at the end of the day, it is challenging, right? How do you bring more of yourself? But I would say the second part of that is to have dinner with your audience. And I don't think most people do that enough. Like, when I started Master Talk, I thought it was a stupid idea. You know, I had like 7 subscribers. I was making videos in my mother's basement. And I wasn't really trying that much. But the difference was, I knew who those people were. There were people that I used to coach when I was in university. And they would always give me the feedback of, keep doing the videos because I'm watching all of them. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'm onto something. So what I recommend for people who want to share ideas, like in your case with your podcast, one easy thing you can do right now in COVID is, at the end of one of your shows, you could say, hey, I'm actually doing free calls just to get to know people who are listening to me. Why don't you send me an email? And I'm pretty sure one of them will send you an email. And then you just get on a call with them and you just talk to them and get to know them and ask great questions, or try to, right? They already like you, so it's going to be an easy conversation. So, and then just get to know them. But what the best speakers in the world do, Jeroen, is they take this to the next level. They go, okay, I want to talk to a lot of people. So examples like Tony Robbins or Gary Vaynerchuk, or even CEOs of technology companies, they talk to a bunch of their customers. Brian Chesky, who's the CEO of Airbnb, is a great example of that, where the first 100 users, he knew exactly who they were, where they were from, why they used the service, and he was able to message better his products. So I recommend that for everybody.
You've been coaching 5 years. How did you get started with it? Because what was the trigger for you to actually come to the idea that coaching might be actually something you would be good at, or you could get good at? And how did you come onto this topic, that's the topic that you want to coach on?
Yeah, giving advice and helping people has always been something that's been common throughout my life, even if the advice was generally bad when I was younger. I just always wanted to help people. But what happened was when I did competitions, the case competitions that I was talking about earlier, which is similar to hackathons but in the business world, I got really good at presentations, really through my own. It was the thing that I was good at, in the same way other guys on my team or gals were much better at finding the solution. Right, it's kind of like the whole dynamic in a technology company where you have somebody who creates the tech stack and somebody else who sells it. Right, it's different skill sets. Right, so in the same way for me, it was always about, I'm really good at selling the idea. I'm not really good at making the tech. I'm not really good at coding the app, but I'm good at selling the app. So over time, I developed an expertise in communication. But when I entered the second year of the program, I realized that there was nobody coaching people on communication, namely because we couldn't afford a coach. It's really expensive. Communication coaches cost a lot of money. So I said, oh, why don't I just teach these students? And I wasn't really good at it, to be honest. I was good at speaking myself, but I was terrible at teaching other people communication. So I messed up a lot at the beginning. My keynotes weren't that good. I wasn't that strong at it. But over time, because the people I was coaching were really good at communication already, we learned and figured out how to work together, and I was able to develop a curriculum that started working really well in year three. So after, I would say, 3-5 years of doing this, I got really strong at coaching people and also presenting myself, and I was able to bring that expertise into what I do today.
So how many people have you coached thus far?
Oh, jeez. I don't know. I think I lost count after like 100 or something. But I've done this for a long time, so it's been like a couple of hundred people now. In different varies. I would say like very high touch one-on-one, probably like 60 or 70. If it's like group and like speaking to people, I've probably touched hundreds at this point.
If you look at any general software developer that's thinking about 2021 and thinking, okay, I might try public speaking for a bit. Of course, start of the year, it will be all remote. But hopefully later in the year, it will be in person at events, conferences, maybe meetups, who knows. What are the best starter tips that you can provide to somebody thinking about doing this?
Yeah, of course. I would say the big thing is always this question, right, that I always like to ask people who get started with communication. The question is, how would the world change if you were an exceptional communicator? And the answer to that question, Jeroen, is going to be different for each person. For some, like one person I met at a hackathon, it was, well, if I got better at communication, I could pitch our project that we spent 24 hours on much better. Or for somebody else, it's, well, I'm a CEO of a company and of a tech company, and I need to learn how to communicate my tech stack in a way that non-technical people want to buy the service. And then somebody else could be, I'm a CTO, I'm a chief technology officer of a company, and I want my developers to trust me and follow my lead. So I need to communicate to that group of people and be confident. Everyone's got their own reasons. But the thing that we want to keep in mind is that public speaking is not just about presentations. It's about every interaction we have in our lives. It's what makes the quality of our life better. So the better we get at communicating, the easier it is for us to speak more easily to the people around us.
You're also referring to the public speaking that you do basically already in a meeting with your peers or maybe even your manager to actually get a new technical concept across and make sure that there's business support and actual budget available to execute on an idea. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You know, the way I see it, especially for software devs, if you're top 10% of communicators in the world, not even top 1, like top 10 or 20%, in your industry, that's top 1%. Right? That's why CTOs and vice presidents of engineering are very difficult to hire for. They're actually one of the hardest positions to hire for in an organization, because most technical people generally don't have both. They're either really good communicators or really good at code, but they're rarely good at both. that it's that combination that makes people really deadly in this industry, right? Like the CTO of Facebook, which I'm sure every single tech company wants to steal from Facebook, right? It's just an example, right? So that's why I think the benefit is. So the first thing I would say is you don't need to speak like me to reap in the benefits of communication in your industry. Even if you're doing 10%, that, you know, just the basics, the filler words, you're saying less ums and ahs, you're pausing a lot more, you're asking more questions, that already puts you like at the top of like every, because most of my clients these days are technology executives of companies, and you know, they're not like gods at communication, but they're pretty close to me, but in their industry they're like top 1%. So that's what I really want to push today, is this idea that even if you work a bit on your communication, the ROI of doing that, not just for your salary, but also your life, is huge. So my recommendation is to work on the easy wins. So I'll give you an easy one right now, you know, that everyone could practice. It's called the puzzle method. So public speaking is like a jigsaw puzzle. You know those puzzles kind of put together as a family or what you used to do? So if I asked you, Yurun, let's say you're working on this puzzle, and it's not a trick question, which pieces would you start with first normally?
Usually that's the corners and the edges. And then basically you start sorting through large fields of a single color. Actually, you're dividing the problem into smaller subsections and trying to grab the easy ones first before tackling the harder pieces in your puzzle.
Perfect. Exactly. So the question is, why don't we do that in public speaking? We have a presentation at work, at a conference room, in a boardroom. So what do? We start with the middle first. We start shoving a bunch of content in our presentation. We get to the presentation. We ramble through the entire thing. We get to the last slide, and it sounds something like this. Yeah, so thanks. That's probably 95% of all the presentations I hear. But there's a super easy way to fix this. Treat your presentations like a jigsaw puzzle. Start with the edges first. Practice your introduction 50 times. Not 3 times, not 5 times. You do it 50 times. Same thing with the conclusion. What's a great movie with a terrible ending? Last time I checked, terrible movie, 50 times. And this is actually not that hard. You know, 50 seems like a big number, but your introduction is a minute and your conclusion is a minute. So it's going to take an hour or two to do all of this. But that hour or two that you spend refining your introduction, your conclusion, will already 10x your communication skills. Because you'll look at your presentation and go, wow, I'm actually pretty good at this. Now let me tackle the middle. Now you have the confidence you need to finish the middle pieces. And much like jigsaw puzzles, I don't know anyone who does puzzles alone. Get a team together, get some friends together, get other software developers, right, who want to work on their communication skills, who are at hackathons, who are doing great extracurriculars, and work together to get better at communication.
You already mentioned a couple of those easy wins that you can achieve as a speaker, either public or in a meeting, ums and ahs. And I noticed that there was a video of you that you actually have an exercise in for these ums and ahs. Can you tell a bit about those? Because what I noticed with your videos on YouTube is that they're all very practical and quite easy to follow, actually.
Yeah, and I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, so the tip is very simple that you can do at home. So the exercise, I recommend the video. It's usually with the person. But since it's COVID now, the exercise I recommend is called long stares. So all you have to do is go up to somebody that you know in your house and just stare at them for 5 minutes and don't do anything else. Most people, and I would say all software developers, can't last 5 minutes. They struggle a lot to hold the gaze. And I teach a lot of my executives to focus that gaze for 5 minutes. And the reason why that's so important is we need to get more comfortable with pausing for long periods of time. And that's the secret that the best speakers in the world don't tell you, is that we can pause forever and never make it seem awkward at all. Whereas you got crazy people like me who can pause for like 30 minutes. But the point I'm driving is simple. If you can pause for 5 minutes, it's going to be easier for you to pause for 2 seconds, 3 seconds, maybe even 5 seconds in a presentation, and it's going to be easier for you to replace your filler words, your ums, your uhs, your blahs, with nothing. So that way, when you start to replace that those words with nothing, it's going to be much easier for you to sound much better as a speaker. And by the way, Yaron, if you just do that tip, you will already be guaranteed top 5% of all communicators in software development. I can pretty much guarantee it based on what I've seen.
Okay. Already some good tips there, Brendan. Your master talk on YouTube. And is there any other places online that people should look for your content?
I would definitely say that's the best place. But if you want to get in touch, you want to send me a message on Instagram, you want to email me, all of my contact information is on the YouTube channel, so don't be shy to reach out there.
Okay. Well, Brendan, thank you very much for your time, and I really enjoyed talking to you.
Of course, the pleasure was mine.
If you have any feedback, please contact me on Twitter at AppForce1. I'm really looking forward to what you think of my episodes. Also, share my episodes with your friends, colleagues, and family, because every download counts. I've also been receiving a number of reviews on Apple Podcasts, and it's been great because they really helped me show up in the search on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you very much for that. And then, my final podcast words of 2020. Happy New Year, everybody, and I hope to see you in 2021. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. AppForce1.net/lead developer. All one word.